Well, grace and peace from the Lord. May there be principle within and peace. Peace with us. Peace here at this place. Peace. We need peace. Peace. Perfect peace. There are many who seem, whom I believe, want peace, desire peace. They don't really know it, or they don't know what it's called. They do seem to pursue something, but tend to go the wrong way, look in the wrong places. I trust we find ourselves having made a good choice, finding us in a good place here this morning, assembled in this fashion. I've found it very good to be here this morning. Just very good. That temperance being added to knowledge, there's patience, virtue, adding one to the other, and then finally charity. But we may be looking at some somewhat parallel scriptures here this morning I think of the young man, a man, and from one gospel we gather he was young, and from another gospel we gather that he was also a ruler. This young ruler who came to Jesus with the question, "What? What must I do? What do I need?" And Jesus named several needful things, things that need to be named about every person who endeavors to follow Him. Everyone who names the name of Christ, these things need to be. And the young man said, "These things have I kept from my youth." There was more that was needful. Following Jesus, that is charity, there can be quite a few things good according to a good law. There can be quite a few things in order, and yet there not be charity. This young man, now this was specific for him. What else? What do I lack? Some specifics in this particular case for this particular person. One was, go and sell what you have and give it to the poor. And come follow me. To selling what a person has and to give to the poor, if that person have not charity, what does it profit? It still is of no avail. Having kept all these things from his youth and now selling everything that he had and giving that to the poor and not having charity, in considering that, that's how I arrive at the idea. Another definition for charity is following Jesus. Lord willing, we'll get to that in our text. So I certainly say yay and amen to what we've been taught already this morning. The children's lesson about being fearful or being afraid, we've been concerned sometimes, some of us especially, about the dire expectation for the fearful and the unbelieving being cast into a very bad place. So what about fearing, being afraid, being fearful? We want to fear God. To me, the scripture that seems to be very helpful on this, sorting this out, fearing, but not being fearful. It's that fearing God, having a fear of God, having a fear of authority, having a fear of God, having a fear of God's authority, that helps us to maintain, helps us to come to a very good, safe place of avoiding fear and unbelief. An example of fear and unbelief is that servant who was afraid and he hid his Lord's money in the earth or in a napkin. He said, "I was afraid." That's why he did that. That fearful, unbelieving fearfulness, being afraid, that immobilizes. Person gives up. Doesn't try. That is not the fear of God. Just the opposite of the fear of God. Fearing a loving God. Serving Him. For Scripture, a Scripture to start with here, the choice that I have arrived at is Colossians chapter 3, and I may turn to a scripture that led me there, a psalm, the 83rd psalm in personal reading some morning just very recently. I noticed in Psalm 83, in the third verse. Well, the psalm begins in, "Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They that have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones." God's chosen, labeled here as His hidden ones. Hidden. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 in verse 3. "Lives hid with Christ in God." Let us start at the beginning. Read a number of verses here. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, long-suffering of mind, humbleness, put on mercy's kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. If ye then be risen in Christ, this seems to be to those who name the name of Christ, those who seek to bear the testimony of Jesus Christ, those who profess, those who have committed, those who have begun, it seems to be especially for those, the way I read it, the way I take it, like a question, almost like a question, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Oh, the pilgrim in the way has reason to weep and lament. If ye then be risen with Christ, why so often do our affections appear to be in the wrong places? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So that hiddenness, Christ's hidden ones, the ones held by God the Father in His hand, the ones held by the Lord Jesus Christ in His hand, the ones who are hidden, the ones who are protected, the ones who make up the city that is built on the hill that cannot be hid, a sort of a paradox, perhaps, that hiddenness on display. We might say our topic is about the hidden display, about the church, God's hidden display is something that is hidden, built on a hill. It cannot be hid in the church. By these things shall all men know that you are my disciples in your love one for another. Now, love tries to hide, but it can't really be hidden. The loving one another, when there is material or money to be bestowed, when there are needs, alms can be given, gifts can be given in hidden manners. There's the attempt to hide. And there can be efforts made when the usually greater gift of time and words of encouragement, physical labors and so forth, are harder to hide. Sometimes some of that can be hidden. But there's an effort to hide the hidden ones, the hidden in Christ, in humility, in meekness, in efforts to please and to lift up the Master, the efforts, well, with the promise that comes with it also, which it surely can't be carnal to be motivated at least somewhat by the exciting promise, or that's what we get. Sure seems like a promise. So there's the warning that if we do things to be seen, give alms, pray prayers, fast, do these things just to be seen, that we lose the reward. So, if nothing else, somewhat of an incentive for doing good, doing good as the Master did, our Lord Jesus, He went about doing good. We want to seek the good of each other. We want to be of such who do just whatever we can for the sake of someone else. I remember being somewhat impressed one time, or it took my attention. There was mention made of a certain brother, and what his object might be, his goals relating to a certain situation, and one brother brought this up, and another one spoke of this brother being discussed. Well, he said, that man, surely, he'll do whatever he can to help, whatever he can to help a person. I thought, well, that's a very good testimony. I'd be glad if people could say that about myself. And then I thought, well, really, it needs to be for all of us. It should be said about any of us, about all of us, seeking the good, doing what we can to help out, to help a person. So the hidden in Christ, with the attempt to hide, thinking about, again, in connection with the opening, I had to think the hiding. Well, that which needs to be put on those bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, humbleness of mind, that patience and the sobriety, the all this that gets put on, thinking especially instructing with meekness, in humbleness of mind, forbearing and forgiving, the none of it serves very well for any haughty person who wants to put on a show. It has its covering, hiding effects, and yet it cannot be hid. It comes out, and it comes out long, it comes out loud, it comes out strong. I'm not quite sure just where it was, Brother Rich's, what he had for us there. I had to think, about the hiding there are times when the church needs to go underground. There are times when there is hiding to preserve life, preserve Christian life, preserve a future for the holding forth of the word of life, the preaching of the gospel. There are efforts that have been necessary to take for the preservation of such. There are different hiding ways, and I had to think of Brother Rich's mention about temperance. I had to think in the outward, in outward ways, hiding, like ample clothing, having our bodies well clothed in a way that we're telling on ourselves in this crooked and perverse nation at this time, and yet that a form of hiding that speaks, a form of hiding. Well, we know that it is very needful, regardless of what wicked people do. It is yet another one that speaks the meekness. Well, within our text, wives submitting yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. In Peter, other places, perhaps a bit more specific, that meek and quiet spirit, seems a difference for wives, different than for their husbands, is the fact that they are covered by their husbands. And a very blessed place for that wife, woman, to be. All of us in meekness and humbleness of mind, through mercy and long suffering and much forbearance, a quiet, meek, unobtrusive, unnoticeable, and yet such a loud, clear, necessary message that comes forth. There's more, I believe. Bring in the fourth verse. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Christ, who is our life, when He shall appear, when is this glory? When does Christ appear? When shall we appear? Appear with Him in glory. Makes me think, first of all, about the glory which is to be revealed, about the glory, about this which eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard, this that which might not be saying much, might still not have said anything with that, but thinking of this that follows, when it's all said and done, when judgment has been, when wickedness, all wickedness is severed and done away, put away. I tend to think of that first. But when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Well, of course, when Christ appears, that second coming to this planet, then He'll bring with Him saints, His saints in the air, and the dead shall arise, and nobody will get ahead of anyone else. The thinking of that time in glory, but then I think also when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, when Christ shall appear, because of words and examples, when Christ shall appear in that day of visitation, that our lives and our speech may do a work, may make an impression, that in that day of visitation, men may yet praise God, that it comes to remembrance, remembering this incident, that incident, that word, this word, remembering the absence of words, that words were not spoken, that may have surprised and baffled the adversary. So thinking also, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, that day of visitation, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Now, of course, we're not wanting to be glorified, but we want all men to behold our good works and glorify God. Praise our Father in heaven. We'd want it to be that when it clicks, when the remembrance comes to mind, that there is knowledge that indeed there are disciples. By these things shall all men know that you are my disciples. That there can be courage taken, courage received, perhaps remembering also the Lord's statement, the Lord's promise, when He said that the gates of hell would not prevail against His church, that there it is, there it was. Didn't recognize it. There it is. So, what now? Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Mortify. All these wicked things. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In other epistles, there are very similar lists. Very similar. With the warning included, be not deceived. Be not deceived. Here the writer said, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Be not deceived. The wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. There is no entering in. There is no part in the kingdom of heaven because of these things. Be not deceived. There is much deception. It seems to me it must be the greatest deception ever. This idea that sin isn't really sin, or at least you can get by with it, everybody else does. Seems like the greatest deception that ever was, those ideas. Sin excludes. Until, unless it's repented of, in the which he also walked sometime when you lived in them. To be repented of, it does not make any difference. Regardless of what people think or what people say, there are situations of people perishing, dying in their sins, in the height of a drunken brawl or something, just no question about the state in which a person died, and yet there's deception, yet there are ideas that such a one had been baptized, had said the proper prayer, and is one of his. No man can pluck them out of the Father's hand. Can't be plucked out. They're safe. They're hidden. The enticing lures from Satan, very visible. The hollow of his hand could be deep. But he has permitted Satan, he has this certain period of time when he continues, God is worthy to be served and praised by those who have all these other, don't want to say opportunities, enticed, offered, all so much else. God is worthy, so worthy to be praised by those. The thing that sets us apart from so much of professing Christianity in the evangelical world is the fact that we see every person alive as a potential for God's kingdom. When there's life, when there's breath, there's hope. That is our calling, our duty, to be the Good Samaritan regardless of the path that the person is on, determined to go. Determined to complete the voyage to Egypt or Jericho or Sodom or wherever, a potential for God's kingdom. God knows already. We don't know. Love thy neighbor as thyself. means as long as there's life and breath, we don't give up. If, and what brings that to my mind at this point is Satan doesn't give up. As long as I believe that he understands that as long as there's life, there's hope. He may depart for a season. He doesn't give up. Why should we give up on anyone? Why should we give up on ourselves? There's more. So there are sins that just absolutely, clearly separate from God. Then there are other sins, sins of omission, sometimes labeled weaknesses, some other sins. A lot of overlap in these categories because many of these not included in the first list also separate from God if they're not repented of and not worked with. When it's brought to the attention, when there's conviction, when there's knowledge, and there's an unwillingness to respond, what seemed like a very small thing can quickly become an obstacle, separate the potential of separating. So now, is there any more? But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. There's more. Also, put off all these. Interesting, the putting on and the putting off. Having put on the new man. Interesting, sometimes we talk about put on, pretending, and we don't, I don't really know what was intended here. Inspiration from the Spirit, that this was written in the first place, and I believe very much the Spirit in control of the translating into our language here. We trust and control this morning that putting on we've heard expressions made of people excusing themselves, cover up for something that needs to come out and be dealt with. The idea of not wanting to be a hypocrite, that the Lord hasn't really led or inspired or taught me this, so I'd be a hypocrite if I do it. I'd be a hypocrite if I obey my parents and the church and do it because I don't have that conviction. There have been such testimonies of such great blessing in obedience and willingness. Be ye thankful. That's a command. Is it hypocritical for a person to act thankful if he isn't? One thing that happens when people consider and take that heart to command, take that command to heart, and look for things to be thankful for. Well, the person looks for something to be thankful for, and he'll find it. It's there. There are things to be thankful for, but a person can give thanks, thank people, thank the Lord when he doesn't feel very thankful, and he is apt to be on the way to be becoming a more thankful person. There's just bound to be more that comes from the heart, whether it's spoken in words of gratitude, the giving, actual outright giving of thanks, or if it comes out in other ways. It needs to come out in other ways. Well, I'm sort of lost. The new man is put on, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither. I suppose with the Creator, with him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. So there is more. Mortify. Put off. Also put off. First mortify, if ye be risen with Christ. It is if we are dead and our lives hid with Christ in God. Mortifying, killing, just the utmost effort. Not just a try effort, but a performance of it. Must be. It's got to be. Mortify, therefore. It must be and it can be. It must be. The Lord has enabled everyone. He has provided what it takes for everyone to do this, to mortify. It is there. God has arranged things very favorably for anyone who wants to be favored. If we may have a hard time really seeing it now, there may be times in our lives that it is hard, very hard, to really believe that all things, as in the children's lesson I believe, that all things work together for good. To those who love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose, we love the Lord. I know, I feel I love Him, yet I want to love Him more. we love Him. What about being the called according to His purpose? Well, if you're here and you hear this, evidently you must be one of the called according to His purpose. Whether you're in the way or not there yet, called, yes, whosoever will, it's open, it's available, and there are so many odds, there are so many things against us, but there is more for us. God has, from the beginning, He planned it out, He mapped it out, every detail, arranged things, planned the whole creation, make it all fit, make it all work. Very favorable for every person that He created, every person that is born. I will see it. Beholding Him. Seeing Him as He is. And ourselves. Being everything being opened. I believe all those who hear that joyous voice at judgment, come in and inherit, that there will be praise to God, praise for the very fact that yes, it can be seen so clearly that He did what could be done. He did everything for us. What more could have been done that He didn't do? It'll be seen with clarity then. Now we see it and we know it, and yet it's in part. It is hard for us to fathom it. Varies. All the circumstances, the trials, the things from day to day that we face. It seems very clear to me that there will be others, many others, who will see it at judgment, who have missed the opportunity, and who hear a voice that no one wants to hear. Depart. Depart from Me, I never knew you. Those who hear that voice, there may be arguments at first. We'd expect that according to Scriptures, according to what Jesus said. Lord, didn't we hear You preach in our streets? Didn't we do miracles in Your name? Many great things. And He will say, depart from Me, I never knew you. There will be arguments like saying, Lord, people having been used to having their own way throughout life, doing as they please, being their own gods, their own masters, being used to getting their own way. This can't be, Lord. You can't do it to me. Done so much good. It just cannot be. But every mouth is stopped. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. The tongues will confess that Jesus is Lord. Seems well, it's repeated several times in Scripture, and seems to me the final fulfillment of that must be at judgment, because there are many who will not do it in this life. So they will do it then. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And in so doing, I believe it'll become very clear, very obvious. There were the opportunities. And yes, Lord, this is right. God being so righteous, so right, a God being so true that this what I chose, this is what I get. And it will be remembered, all the opportunities, all the missed opportunities. I believe it'll become very clear, very, very vivid and clear that yes, God did everything. God does so much to do more. How could He do more without revealing Himself, His image, His person? No man, Scripture says that no man can see God and live. So God is merciful. We may think of physical death if a person would see God. Well, let's consider spiritual death. The devils believe and tremble. I believe it is from having seen God. They believe and tremble. There is no opportunity. How could we serve God in faith if we saw God? That is the only way to come to God. Faith in Him. Faith in His Son, in Jesus Christ. That is the only way. That would be removed if we couldn't come in faith, if we could come because of seeing. So we have not seen God, and yet we believe. Oh, what a blessing for those who have not seen and yet believe. We have not seen God and yet we believe, and we order our whole lives accordingly. We live our lives in such a way, we live as if our very lives, as if everything depended upon that, just as if our very lives depended upon it. That's how we live for Him. And of course, it does. Our lives do depend upon Him, our spiritual lives. And He is so worthy of that. He is so worthy of that. He has created these many billions of different beings, persons, with souls. So many billions of them. And everyone different from every other. I'm just fully convinced that no assistant ever had to help out on this. If angels were watching as He was doing the designing on these billions, I don't think they ever said, well, this almost seems like a duplicate. Lord, isn't this just about like so-and-so way back or whenever? Everyone so uniquely different, just very different. And He'd be so worthy of being served by every one of them. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Perhaps close reading a few verses out of Isaiah 5, followed perhaps by a few closing comments, or we'll see. Isaiah chapter 5 and 7 verses. Considering what God has done. Considering about what we do and how we do things. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my well-beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it. And also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to. I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged. But there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant, and he looked for judgment. But behold, oppression for righteousness, but behold, a cry. Concerning Israel, concerning Judah, concerning the church that was in the wilderness, concerning the church that is now, concerning every individual who is now, concerning the ones who receive and have committed and find themselves in that way, and for the ones who have delayed, who may have put it off. For each and every one, what more could have been done, considering in the natural, physical realm, if in our work, if our work would include a vineyard, planting a vineyard here in Kentucky, we'd do some research. Probably most advice would be, well, try a few vines, see if they even grow. This thing of the choicest vines, protection, the wall fenced about, the processing plant built, the facilities for sales, all that put in place. From the beginning, right at the start. It's not the way we do natural business as a rule, but God is very serious in His business about us, for us. Should we kneel? Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you and We ask you, Lord, to help us be a more thankful people. Lord, help us to be very sober, really. Take to heart and notice that time is running out. But Lord, we thank you for the opportunities. Lord, help us to not become slack or weary, but become ever more useful to each other and those around us in this work that you have placed us in. In the name of Jesus, amen.